blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and he's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit and washed in his blood, and one he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
Yeah. That's going to be our pre-worship song for next Sunday morning. You get that little bit of preview on Sunday nights. Want to say welcome to everybody who's here in person. Welcome to everybody who's there online. Glad to have you with us on any of our social media platforms there. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, comment there especially. Share it with your friends. That just helps to get the word out to more and more of the circles of your friends and those algorithms that are there on those. Welcome also to those people who are on the phone live streaming. If you need that number here tonight, see me. I'll be glad to give that number to you. If you're at home and want to get that number, it's a toll-free call. There's lots of people out there who don't have the internet or can't use the internet to watch the services. Feel free to call the church office. We'll be glad to share that number with you. If you're at home and you do have access to our church website, go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's under the info tab. You can download the worship bulletins. These are around at the doors as you came in. Be sure to get one of those. You've got children's worship bulletins under that info tab. They're in the windowsill to my right. One for ages 7 and up, one for ages 3 and up, and then the prayer list is also on that, and those are out here on the table across from the office in the magazine racks there. And so just wanted to remind you about those things. Don't forget, too, that while you're on the church website, you can do your online giving. Just go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there. You can do your offering there. It's a real easy platform. You can do a one-time gift. You can do a recurring gift, however you want to do that. You can give to the special offerings that are on there, so I encourage you to take the time to do that. You've got offering envelopes here in person, too, that you can use for that. Let me just remind you again, we have the YouVersion Bible app that we're a part of. You just scan that QR code there, or just go to your app store, download it. You can go to Discover Our Church, Highland Baptist Church here in Tullahoma. We're one of the few churches that are on that app here locally, and so you can be able to find us there when you click on it and make that church or make our church your church. It will show you our Bible reading plan that we have right now, which is Lord, Hear Our Cry by Jack Graham. It's a 30-day prayer challenge, and I want to encourage you to begin that. You can begin that anytime. You didn't have to begin that at the beginning of January. You can start that anytime, but just want to encourage you to take that challenge and to be going through the Scripture. It takes you through Scripture as well as gives you some direction through Scripture about some prayers to be praying. And so we want to encourage you to take that 30-day prayer challenge. We're going to be emphasizing a lot about prayer throughout the year. You're going to hear some more in the days ahead. So just wanted to remind you about that. And so thank you so much for being here. Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us in our hymn of worship.
Heard and he answered, my faith looks up to thee. And let's sing that right now. Hymn 416, stand if you would, if you can, and let's sing it. Oh.
Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Hebrews. We are still going through the Great Hall of Faith there, we've still got several more that we're going to be looking at here. I've entitled tonight's message, Faith in the Face of Death. When everything goes wrong, what do you do? When you're facing death, where is your faith and how is your faith? So Hebrews 11, verse 22 is what we're going to be looking at tonight, and then we're going to spring back towards to the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 37, all the way over to chapter 50. We're not going to read all those chapters, but we're going to highlight some of the things about Joseph's life here. So let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word, Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much as we have been on this journey through this great hall of faith and in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. I pray, God, that you will continue to make this passage come alive to us. Help us, Lord, to see the relevancy for our lives and the application that we need to make to our hearts and our lives. As we study here the life of Joseph, Father, I pray that his life will speak volumes to us. I pray that if we are here as believers, may we take courage and comfort from the things he experiences to know that even though we may go through those similar things, that you are with us. You've never left us nor forsaken us. But also, especially, Lord, for those who may not know Christ as our Lord and Savior, I pray they will hear the gospel message in these chapters and in this verse that we just read. Father, that they would know that you do love them and you have made a way for them to be made right with you, and that's through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So bless your word tonight, and we just pray, Lord, for your will to be done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had one of those days when it seems like everything that could go wrong did go wrong? I dare say most all of us have had those kinds of moments. You do your best in those days to make wise decisions. You try to do what's right. And yet it seems like the harder you try, the more complicated life becomes. You know, most of us can identify with that feeling. Life has a way of overwhelming us, at least when we at least expect it. There was a story I came across. I've shared this before, so it may be old for some of you that have heard this before. But there was a story about a man who was filling out an accident report form for an insurance company. He was explaining how he had received the injuries that had put him in the hospital. And his letter went like this: Dear sirs, I want to explain in this letter the details of what put me in the hospital. He said, I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of my accident, I was working alone on the roof of a brand new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of brick left over. And rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley which was attached to the side of the building at the top of the 6th floor. He said, securing the rope at the ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel, loaded the brick into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly so I could ensure its slow descent of the 500 pounds of brick. You'll notice, he said, in block 11 of the accident report form that I weigh 135 pounds. He said, due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded in a rather rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. That explains my broken arm and shattered collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent up the side of the building, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were too deep into the pulley. This explains my 2 broken fingers. Unfortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and I was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of the pain. About the same time, though, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground, and the bottom fell out of the barrel. And devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you back again to my weight, 135 pounds, in block 11. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity, again, of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming up, and that accounts for the 2 fractured ankles and the dislocation of my left kneecap. Slowed only slightly, I landed directly on the pile of bricks beneath me, and that explains the cracked 3 vertebrae in my back. Finally, as I lay on the bricks in pain, unable to stand, and watching that empty barrel 6 stories above me, out of relief that it was over, I let go of the rope. And that explains my fractured skull. You know, even if you've never experienced that kind of dramatic thing in your life, understand this, there are going to be seasons in your life that you're going to have sometimes days, weeks, sometimes even years, when everything in your life seems to unravel. And that's true whether you're walking close with God or not. Understand that faith in Christ does not exempt us from hardships. Joseph certainly learned that truth. Joseph had far more than his share of dark days. He seemed to always be constantly facing some dire situation, many times even possible death. He was sold by his brothers who lied that he died. They didn't know what was going to happen when they sold him to that traveling troop who came through. Maybe he would be killed. He was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife and was cast into prison. He faced death again there, coming before Pharaoh to interpret his dream. He came there face to face with death. And then the famine that came in the land, again facing death. And so when you come to the book of Genesis, I want to ask you to turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. We're still going to reference chapter 11 and this verse here in verse 22 about Joseph. We're going to come back to that here at the end. But in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 20, here's what you read in that verse. It says in chapter 39 and verse 20 that Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. When he's in prison, it's not the luxury federal prison that we think about today. He is in a dark, dirty dungeon with hardened criminals, not because what he did was wrong, but because what he did was right. He suffered because of his integrity, not because of his failure. And for much of his early life, it would have appeared that being faithful, his faithfulness, only seemed to lead to disappointment time after time after time. And yet through it all, Joseph remains devoted to God. So whether he was on the mountaintop or whether he was in the valley, you're going to see about Joseph that his commitment to God never wavered, because he understood something that we all need to learn. And that's how to live faithfully even when everything goes wrong, even when our faith, in faith, we face death. When our faith even faces death, we need to learn several principles from Joseph's life, and that's what I want us to focus on about his life before we come back to understand what Hebrews 11 verse 20 is there for. So the first thing we need to learn from Joseph's life is to remember the promises of God. Remember the promises of God. Now remember what he said there in chapter 11 of verse 22 in Hebrews. It said that by faith Joseph at the end of his life made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Go back to Genesis chapter 37. We just looked at 39. Go back a few chapters to chapter 37. And I want you to see in verse 17, we pick up here, his brothers have sold him, or getting ready to sell him into slavery. We're going to find out how that all happens. Notice verse 17 in Genesis 37. And it says in Genesis 37, so Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. Verse 18, they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. So there he's facing death. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. Now, right there in those verses, we begin to realize Joseph has had some dreams. It's not accidental that this story of Joseph begins with a dream. In Genesis 37, God had gave Joseph two dreams. One involves some sheaves of grain. The other involves the sun, the moon, and the stars. And these dreams are not just his youthful imaginations. They were divine revelation. God was making a promise about Joseph's future. In the first dream, God had revealed that Joseph would one day be elevated above earthly provisions. And in the second dream, he reveals that Joseph would be elevated above earthly authority, as his family and even his brothers are going to bow down before him. And those promises that God made to Joseph became for him an anchor for his soul. When Joseph was in that pit, when he was later in the prison, when he was in the face of death, it was then that his circumstances around him contradicted the promise. But Joseph chose to stay focused. He chooses to stay focused on God and on what God had said rather than what he could see. God had promised, here are some things that are going to happen for you in those two dreams. He's in the prison, and you're wondering, how in the world is those dreams going to come true here in a prison? But he understood that God always keeps his word. And instead of sinking beneath his problems, he stands on God's promises. Here's a truth we need to learn for application to our lives, and that's that when adversity comes into your life, and it will, you may not be in the midst of it right now, but it will come. When adversity comes into your life, and it will, you have to decide where you're going to focus your attention. If you're focused on your circumstances, discouragement is going to come. But if you focus on the promises of God, you will find strength to endure just like Joseph did. Proverbs 3, verse 25 and 26 reminds us, "Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." God never has to take back his words. He never fails to fulfill what he has promised. And so the first thing we learn is we need to remember the promises of God. How do you remember the promises of God? Well, one of the things you got to do is know the promises of God. And to know the promises of God, you got to be in the Word of God. That's where the promises of God are. And so make sure you're spending time reading God's Word, studying God's Word, so you know the promises of God's Word. Because when you know the promises of God's Word, God never takes back his Word, and God always fulfills what he has promised. Secondly, we learn from Joseph that we need to rely on the providence of God. We need to rely on the providence of God. Now, we're going to skip way over to Genesis chapter 50. We're going to come back a little bit before that in a moment. But Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, after all the things that happened through Joseph's life happens, his brothers are facing him here at his death. And Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, Joseph says an astounding thing to his brothers. He says in verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." All that suffering that you read about in Joseph's story was confusing because it was undeserved. He hadn't done anything to deserve it. He was rejected by his brothers because of jealousy. He was imprisoned because of a false accusation. He lost his freedom because he refused to compromise his purity and his integrity. Joseph suffered not for doing wrong, but for doing right. And Scripture reminds us in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 that there is honor in suffering patiently for righteousness. Verse 20 says of 1 Peter chapter 2, "For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure it?" In other words, there are going to be times of suffering because of choices you made, of sin that happened, and there's consequences for our sin. And so he says, what credit is that if when you sin, you're beaten for it, you suffer for it, and you endure it? It's no, of no profit, he says. "But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. So understand that not every hardship that you experience in your life is a sign of disobedience. Sometimes it is. But sometimes hardship is the evidence of your faithfulness. Life doesn't always make sense to us, but it always makes sense to God. And so there's always going to be times when you can't understand why God allows certain things to happen in your life. And it's in those moments faith has to go where reason cannot. What Joseph could see was a prison, but what God could see was a palace. That's the way he got him to the palace, was to take him through the prison. Years later, as we saw there, Joseph would say to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Because God never wastes suffering. He always weaves it into his greater purpose for our lives. In fact, Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, he assures us, "And we know that for those who love God, all things, even the bad things, work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." The book of Psalms and Psalm 138 verse 8 reminds us, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me." And so understand this, even when life seems out of control, God is not out of control. God remains sovereign. And so you can rely on his providence. The third thing we want to see is this, that we learn from Joseph, is that we ought to rest in the presence of God. So let's go back in Genesis, and we want to see here some more about Joseph's life that gets him to that place at the end of the book of Genesis that he's going to talk about what we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. So you go to Genesis chapter 39, and we're told in chapter 39 that the Lord was with Joseph. We're not just told that once. We're told that over and over and over again in various ways. Look at chapter 39 and verse 2. It says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master." Look at verse 3. "His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands." Look on down to verse 5. In verse 5 it says, "From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed." The Lord was with him, so the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. "The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field." So the Lord was with him there. Verse 21. In verse 21 it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And then down in verse 23, it says, "The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge." Why? Because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it to succeed. So over and over, we're reminded in chapter 39 that the Lord was with Joseph. God was with him in the pit. God was with him in the prison. In other words, in all of those valley times, God had not forgotten Joseph. And God had not forsaken him. All throughout the scripture, God shows us that he is always there with us in our trials. He was in the ark with Noah. He was in the fire with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He was in the lion's den with Daniel. He was in the storm-tossed boat with the waves and the storm there with the disciples. Understand this, God doesn't always remove us from the difficulties of life, but he never, ever abandons us in it. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you might feel in your feelings lonely, but you are never, ever alone. Isaiah 43 verse 2 assures us, "When you pass through the waters, God says, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Why? Because I will be with you.
When we pass through the waters or we walk through the fire, God is with us. His presence sustains us. When everything else in life is shaken, when your faith even comes face to face with death, we need to remember the promises of God, and we need to rely on the providence of God, and we need to rest in the presence of God. Because understand this, even in the face of death, we need to realize this life is not all there is. You understand that as a believer? There is eternity in heaven with Him forever. Eternity in heaven, in a new heaven and a new earth. And so this life is not all there is. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. With God is where our home is. And we need to rest in the presence of God. But there's a fourth thing we need to understand from Joseph's life, that we need to respond with the patience of God. And you say, wait a second, preacher, I like all that other stuff you're talking about. I don't like having to express and live in patience. We don't like patience. Joseph, if you remember the story, he enters the prison around the age of a late teenager, 17, 18, 19, somewhere in that time frame. He stood before Pharaoh at the age of 30. And for 13 years, he waited. And during that time, he was forgotten by people. He was overlooked by people. He was mistreated by people. And yet, he never became bitter. He never sought revenge on those who forgot about him. Remember the cupbearer and the baker, both of those forgot about him until later, and then one did remember him. But that Joseph never got angry with them. He continued simply to trust God and to keep doing what was right. And Joseph's faithfulness, we need to realize, was not dependent on his circumstances. It's easy to serve the Lord when things are going good. It's easy to praise and worship the Lord when you're experiencing blessings in your life. But when you're not experiencing the blessings of God and you're experiencing suffering in this world, that's hard to keep on praising and to keep on worshiping God. So Joseph, his faithfulness, we learn, was not dependent on his circumstances. And that raises an important question for us. Is our faithfulness dependent on our circumstances? Do we obey God only when life is comfortable? Do we worship Him only when things are going our way? Understand this, true commitment is unconditional. True commitment is unconditional. Martin Luther once said that even if the world were to end tomorrow, he would still plant his apple tree and pay his debts. In other words, he was saying, no matter what happens, until the very end, I'm going to keep on living faithfully. And that ought to be the primary focus of our lives, that till we draw our last dying breath, that we're going to keep on serving the Lord faithfully. Understand that if a person cannot serve God in a prison, then they're not prepared to serve God in a palace. God is the same in tragedy as He is in triumph. When everything goes wrong, He still remains faithful on His throne. He is faithful, He is sovereign, and at work for His glory and for our good. And so finally we come to this last point, to be rooted in faith in the Word of God. Now that takes us back to the passage we began with in Hebrews 11, verse 22. If you'll keep your finger there, and then we're going to come back to Genesis in just a moment. But Hebrews 11, verse 22 said, by faith, Joseph... And notice what the writer of Hebrews chooses, as under the inspiration of God, to show us, to talk about the life of Joseph. He doesn't talk about his technicolor coat. He doesn't talk about his coat of many colors. He doesn't talk about his experience in the pit. He doesn't talk about his experience with Potiphar's wife and how he spent that time in prison. He doesn't speak about him interpreting the dreams about the famine that was to come and providing for all those thousands and millions, really, of people who were saved during that. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites, something that had not yet happened, something that was still in the future out there, and he gave directions concerning his bones. And we might be scratching our heads and thinking, why would the writer of Hebrews point that out as the thing that puts Joseph here in the great hall of faith? He could have mentioned any number of other things about him. He could have mentioned that occasion when he's sitting there before his brothers and he tells them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's why he's in the great hall of faith. But no, he mentions about the exodus from Egypt, and he mentions about his bones, concerning his bones. Go back to Genesis chapter 50, the end of Joseph's life here again. We read a little bit of this, but Genesis chapter 50, verse 24 is where we want to pick up at. He's already said to them back in verse 20, you meant evil against me. God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today, that many people would be saved. But now he comes to verse 24 in the life of Joseph through verse 26. And it says, and Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die. We don't always know when death is coming. Sometimes death happens instantly. Sometimes it happens in a car accident. Sometimes it happens with a heart attack or a stroke. Sometimes it happens in the blink of an eye and we're gone. Other times we grow older and we age and we know that we're getting close to our last days, close to our last breath. Joseph knows that these are his last days. These are his last moments. And he wants to speak into his brothers' lives. And he says to them, I am about to die. But God will visit you. And God will bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. There's a promise that God had made to Joseph, had made to his father, had made to his grandfather, had made to his great-grandfather. We're going to see that in just a moment. And then Joseph, in verse 25, made the sons of Israel, made the sons of Jacob, swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from there. So he makes them, I want you to repeat it. I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. You say it with me. God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. They understood the promise. So, in verse 26, Joseph died being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. What was Joseph saying in all of that to his brothers? He was saying to his brothers, now men, I know that one of these days you're going to leave Egypt. And I know that you're going back to the promised land. And when you go, even though I'm dead, I want you to take my bones with you. He's saying, I don't want to be caught dead here in Egypt. When you go, I want you to take my bones all the way back to Canaan. And that's the story that God uses as an illustration of the faith of Joseph. What Joseph really was saying was this. If you get to the bottom line of what he's saying, God is going to keep his word. And when he does, I want to be a part of God's keeping of his word. When God brings you up out of this place, take me with you. God is going to keep his word. And when he does, I want to be a part of it. Joseph's faith is rooted in the word of God. So understand, you don't just decide to believe something and then believe it and call that biblical faith. God speaks to us before we can have faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Joseph knew that the Israelites, the Hebrews, were one day going to leave the land of Egypt. Why? Because God had already said so. Where did he say so? He said it to Joseph's great-grandfather, Abraham, back in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13 and 14.
What prophecy that you see here. So God is speaking to Abraham. The Lord says to Abraham in verse 13 of Genesis 15, "Know for certain that your offspring, your descendants, will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there." Where is he talking about? He's talking about what happens in Joseph's day in Egypt. "And they will be afflicted for 400 years. How long were the Israelites in Egypt? 400 years. He says, but in verse 14, "But I will bring judgment on that nation, on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions." God promised to Abraham, his great-grandfather. That had gotten passed down generation after generation, and Joseph understands that truth. The promised land is where God wants them to be. But yet Joseph had been sold into slavery. He had had all those experiences that happened to him. He wasn't still back in that place. Even when he's serving in the palace and he's being able to keep all that grain for people to survive during the years of famine there, he's still not where God ultimately wants his people to be. Understand that faith does not depend on appearances. At the moment that Joseph says this, it does not seem like they're fixing to pack up their bags and leave. When Joseph said, "Take my bones with you when you go," there was not any reason yet for them to go. They were in a place of favor with the people. I mean, Joseph was the prime minister at this moment, at this time. They lived in the best place in that land. They lived in the land of Goshen. They weren't slaves at this time. Nobody was mistreating them at this moment. As a matter of fact, they had left the land of Canaan. Why? They had left the promised land because there had been a famine there. Why would you want to go back to that land with the famine going on there when you've got it made here in the land of Goshen? From all appearances, there wasn't any reason at that moment that they should go. It's not till way later, when God hears his people crying out after they are servants, that God sends Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. That's a long time. That's that 400 years that pass of them being there as servants in the land of Egypt. Because that Pharaoh that was leading when Joseph was prime minister dies, and things change. So why would you want to go back to that promised land when things seem to be going great? From all appearances, there wasn't any reason that they should go. And after all, so much time had transpired, had passed since God had said to his great-grandfather, "You're leaving." But still Joseph is clinging to the Word of God. Learn this about faith. When God speaks, appearances don't make any difference. The way it looks around you doesn't make any difference. Time itself does not diminish his promises. So you see, if you want to live by appearances and you want to be slave to hours and weeks and months, your faith is going to waver. He didn't say, "If you go back to the promised land, take my bones with you." He said, "When you go back." There was a confidence in what he's saying to his brothers. "You're going back. And when you go back, take my bones with you." So time and circumstances seemed to be against it. But the Word of God stood fast. Faith is finding out what God has said he's going to do and saying, "I want to be a part of what God is doing." Let me ask you that. Have you done that? That's what Joseph did. And Joseph found out what God was going to do. He revealed it to him in those dreams. He showed it to him in the promise that had been given to his great-great-grandfather, his great-grandfather. And because he believed the Word of God, he said, "I want to get in on what God is doing. Guys, when you go back, it's just my bones. But I want you to take my bones with you. Even though I may be in a coffin, take me with you. I know God is going to keep his word." That's the faith he had in the promise of God. His faith was rooted in the Word of God. And that's why he's in the great hall of faith. So as we come to the end, I want you to hear this clearly. What you are facing today in your life, you may be going through difficult times, you may be going through trials, you may not. It's around the corner, trust me. 2026 might bring it, it might be 2027. You're going to face difficult times. All of us do at various times in our lives. But here's what I want you to know. What you're facing today is not the end of your story. The prison is not the conclusion of Joseph's story. The pit is not the final chapter. God is still writing, still working, still moving, even when you cannot see it. You may be in a season where nothing makes any sense. You've prayed, you've obeyed the word of God, you've trusted, and yet the circumstances have only grown more difficult. Let me remind you of something. Joseph understood long before he ever stood in that palace that God is never late. God is never confused, and God is never uninvolved. He is accomplishing his purpose in you, not just for you. So don't measure God's faithfulness by what you feel. Why? Because your feelings are up one day and down the next. Don't measure God's faithfulness by your circumstances. Circumstances change every day. Measure it by his character. He has never failed, and he never will. And if you'll stay faithful in the prisons of life, God will be faithful in his timing, just like he was with Joseph. If you'll keep your heart right when everything goes wrong, God will work everything right in his perfect way, in his perfect time. So here's the reality. Some of us may need to release bitterness. Others may need to let go of fear. Some may need to just stop trying to figure everything out and just trust the one who already knows the end from the beginning. Whatever season of life that you're in, you keep on choosing obedience. You keep on choosing faith. You keep on getting into the Word of God and stand on the promises of God. And remember this, the same God who was with Joseph in the prison is with you right now. He has not forgotten you. He has not abandoned you. And he certainly is not finished with you yet. When everything goes wrong, God has not lost control. He's still present. He's still faithful. He's still accomplishing his purpose. So you need to trust him. You need to rest in him. And you need to continue to walk with him one faithful step at a time, one moment at a time, one day at a time. Don't try to run ahead, and don't lag behind in complacency. Keep walking one step at a time, one day at a time, faithfully with the Lord. That's why Joseph is listed in the Great Hall of Faith in verse 22. At the end of his life, he made mention of the promise, is what it's saying. He made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones because he was standing on the promises of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and we acknowledge, Lord, that you are God and we are not. Lord, you see things that we cannot see, and you understand what we cannot understand, and you are always at work even when everything seems to be going wrong. So, Heavenly Father, I pray for those who may be here tonight, those who may be watching online, I pray, Lord, for those who may be in a season of disappointment or confusion or deep pain. Lord, you know the burdens that they're carrying. You know the questions that they can't answer. You know the fears that they haven't spoken aloud. Lord, I ask you to give them in their hearts as they trust in you a peace that passes all understanding, and to give them a strength to trust you one step at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to always come back to remember your promises when our circumstances are overwhelming. Lord, teach us to rely on your providence when life doesn't even make sense. Lord, remind us of your presence when we sometimes feel all alone. Lord, grant us the patience to remain faithful. until that day that your purpose is fully revealed, fully completed. Lord, we come this evening to surrender our will to yours. We surrender our timing to yours. We give our lives into your care. And Lord, we choose today to trust you, not because everything's right, not because our circumstances are good, but because, Lord, you are always faithful. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do, knowing, Lord, that you are always working for your glory and for our good. Lord, if there's someone who's here tonight, or maybe even watching online, who has not by faith yet trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation for them. We pray all of these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we stand, as we sing our hymn of invitation, we want to invite you to come as the Lord maybe has laid on your heart. Would you stand as we sing tonight? Some application there for your life tonight. Looking forward to this coming Wednesday night. We'll be back in the book of Jeremiah once again. Come and join us if you can. We have our WANA program on Wednesday nights. That starts at 5:25, and here we have a meal at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall that you can come and enjoy also. So come out Wednesday night. It'll be a wonderful blessing there. We start our time here at 6 o'clock with our Bible study and prayer time, so come and join us for that if you can. You have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you this coming Wednesday.